Welcome to the Eat the Evidence podcast, a show for cake and cookie decorators and sugar artists of all kinds. I'm your host, Kimberly Chapman, and this is episode number 62 on June 24th, 2021. On today's episode, I'm joined by cookie artist Sandy Beltran of You Can Call Me Sweetie to talk about painting on royal icing, how COVID has affected those of us who are immune compromised in particular, and all the personal and professional travel we long for once it's safe for folks like us to get out again. So, whether you're chugging away at projects in your isolated kitchen, experimenting with your own ways of making baked goods beautiful, or if you're in one of the lucky, sensible places that beat COVID back early so you can be safely out and about again, let's get this show started to sympathize, empathize, and inspire you on your sugar arts journey. Joining me now is Sandy Beltran of You Can Call Me Sweetie in Miami, Florida. Hello.
Hey, hey, hey.
Hey.
Hi.
I'm so glad you're here.
So excited to be here. It's my first podcast, so I might fibble a little bit. I'm just so excited to be here. Thank you so much.
That's really weird to me because, like, you're such a huge name. Like, to me, you are a big get. I don't want to say, like, other people... You know, some of my cake friends who come on aren't big, because, you know, everyone matters, and there's some talented people whose names aren't known and blah, blah. But you're a big name. You count as celebrity.
Man,
yeah.
I'm one of those people that I compliments just don't come easily to me like that.
I know, so me neither. I'm so sorry.
It's so hard for me to, like, be like, oh, thank you. But to be honest with you, it's, you know... It's so easy to climb up a ladder, but it's also really easy to fall off of it too.
Mm-hmm.
So I just always remind myself that, you know, one day you're hot and another day you're not. So you got to take each moment as it comes and just be appreciative of it. And this was something that was just a little hobby, something I was doing. It was a little side gig. I really, 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 really did not like my job, like, you know, my paying job back when I first started.
Mm-hmm.
And to see that, and I didn't even know that I could do what I do now as far as painting. I didn't even know I could do any of that. And to know that where I'm at now, it's like I feel like I'm very appreciative of all the love and support. And that's why I think these type of things are important to... Because sometimes people just see the work and they don't understand, like, you know, we're human beings. We're down to earth. It's okay. You can talk to me. I won't bite.
No, I get that. Like, because I have all this celebrity worship for so many cake people, and almost all of them feel that way. Like,
yeah.
It's a constant thing. The imposter syndrome that gets revealed on this podcast is very high.
Yeah.
In part because what some of us have realized is because... For so many of us, we're working in our own little studio, in our own little kitchen, mostly alone, most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Except when we go to a cake show. This is all pre-COVID talk, of course. Then everyone hugs at the cake show, but then it's the same people you know on social. Like, it's this insular little thing. And so it's very easy to say, I love your work, I love your work, I love your work. And you start to think, well, everyone just says that. My work can't possibly be better. Oh, my God, look what she just made. Oh, my God, she's the really
exactly.
good one. No, I'm not the good one. But then someone tells you you're the good one, and you're like, what? No. What?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
We all do this.
You hit the nail on the head right there.
Especially the women. Especially the women. And again, this is this whole, I keep harping on this. We are so enculturated. We're not allowed to say, yeah, you know what? I rocked that. Because now we're too aggressive and too braggy. And
we're full of ourselves.
But we keep telling each other to do it. We keep saying, you should be more confident. But then, oh, no, not like that. Like, it's this horrible thing.
Yeah, tame it down there, Missy. Tame it down.
So, like, I keep
you're
saying.
You're good, but not all that.
Right. So it's well, like.
And I totally get that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We've created this thing where what we need is like, we need to create like a loop of it where it's like, I say you're great, you say the next person's great, then they say, and like you pass it around and then it loops back. But it doesn't loop back. It goes into weird spirals where some people then get all the kudos and some people who are even very good never do because they don't put themselves out as much or, Well, you just the random happenstance of it sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've even, not everybody knows who I am. And I've been in situations where, you know, I come up to someone, at, especially like a cake show or something like that, and they don't know who I am. And they kind of treat you like they're, you know, I am better than you, you know, and then I guess they figure out who you are, and then they're like, oh, hey, how you doing?
Yeah.
That's why for me, I think it's so important, no matter who's on the other side of a conversation, you know, you got to be interested and listen and focus and be in the conversation, you know,
mm-hmm.
And listen to what they have to say and check out their stuff. And, you know, some people, they may not have the best stuff in the beginning, but you know what? There's growth. Like, oh my gosh, if you see the stuff that I did when I first started, it looks nothing like it is now.
Oh yeah. Most of all us, of us,
yeah. We have that growth, and I haven't deleted any of them. So if people do their homework and like they go to my Facebook page and you dig deep to like 2013 around there, You'll see that this didn't just magically happen. There's a lot of hard work and a lot of dedication that goes into perfecting something and getting really good at something. So it's not a magic wand. And I feel like some people think that, oh, you're just born that way. You've got a talent. I'm like, no, I feel like the more that you practice something, the more things will click. And that's when I really got into like teaching, because I was like, listen, I swear to you, I have no background in art. I have background in performing art, like the singing and the performing and stuff like that, but nothing in visual arts. I've never painted on anything. To this day, I have not painted on like a canvas. Everything has been royal icing. So, and I was 38 years old the very first time that I ever even painted like this. So it's like, that's why I'm like really compassionate about teaching people, because you think you can't do something, man, you got to try.
Absolutely.
And it's incredible what just practicing will unlock in like your brain, you know?
Yep. Well, I mean, that's why I called the blog and now the podcast Eat the Evidence, because the whole ethos of it is play around with edible media. And if it goes wrong, eat the evidence. No one needs to know. Like, because...
That's so awesome.
Well, because I'm self-taught for the most part. I mean, I've had a class here or there, or, you know, CI demos or whatever. But mostly mm-hmm. self-taught. And again, like, even when I was a total newbie, some of the techniques I now know about now that other people want to learn from me are the things I discovered because I had no idea what I was doing. And I hadn't exactly. been told it was quote unquote wrong. Like there was an Austin Cake Show meeting, Austin Cake Club meeting right after our show one year. It was either the year that I took first and Brian took second, or the year after. We were like first and second 2 years in a row, like swapped. And we were doing a sort of a joint demo of just, you know, random stuff at the otherwise post-mortem meeting. And he and I both started, we're making something out of fun. He's making something, I'm making something. We just take the fun and we just like dip it in the water and start sculpting it. And everyone went, and that was the moment he and I both learned you're not supposed to dip the fun in the water. And we're like, well, apparently we're up here winning doing it. So if it's wrong, apparently we're doing it right wrong. So like,
oh yeah.
Right. Because there's all these techniques.
Totally relate to that.
Yeah. Right. There's like a million, like there are obviously there's some certain, you cannot do's because the chemistry or the physics won't play nicely with you. But there's a lot more you can do that you probably some instructor somewhere told you couldn't do.
Yeah. With me, it was, you know, when I first started painting on cookies, a lot of people were, you know, they used the alcohol, and I could not get on board with that. I was like, this stuff stains the royal icing. I just don't have the patience. And back then I was still selling cookies. So it was my little side hustle and I needed to make my little money on the side. And I was like, you know, this is taking way too long. Like, you know, I've got to shadow here and I've got to make like four different colors of this red, you know? And so that's when I started playing with painting on royal icing with water. And that's like a big no-no. Oh my gosh, you can't. That eats up the royal icing. And I was like, well, there has to be a way. And I found a way to like paint on it where, you know, it works. Like you can even erase when you're working with water. So I was like, okay, this is for me because I'm making lots of mistakes here and I can fix them.
Yep.
And, as long as I can just control the amount of water where it doesn't start pitting the royal icing, I'm going to be fine. And I haven't looked back since then. Like everybody's like, oh, but you should try now with alcohol. No, you know, I don't, I'm good. I'm good. I love working with water. And that's what I do now. I paint on royal icing with water. And everyone's like, what?
I am literally doing the squee hands the whole time you're saying that, because I, even having watched one of your demos, I don't know that I knew that you use water, and I use water, and people are always telling me off for using water. I love you so much. Ah! Oh my God. No, seriously. Cause I'm teetotal, so I won't use alcohol.
I'm telling you, there is a way.
Yeah.
It's all in the dampness of the bristles. You, and the more you work at it, you'll figure it out that it's gotta be damp and not like
not wet.
And it's incredible how you can blend with just like one. You don't have to mix four different colors to do shading and shadowing. Mm-hmm. It's just by the brush strokes. And I was like, okay. Because I still got to make money off this cookie, people. This was back then. This was my mindset back then. I still have to make money off of this cookie. I don't have time to be spending, you know, 5 hours on one cookie for this client. I need to do it in 45 minutes. And that's where the whole technique that I work with now, it all stemmed from. Yes, now I do more detailed stuff because I feel, you know, I think we all go through this. You conquer something and then you want to continue challenging yourself, you know?
Yeah.
And so then I keep trying to make my paintings look more and more realistic. I don't feel like I'm there where I want to be. So I keep challenging myself. And it's something that I just don't ever think I'm going to be satisfied, right? We're never going to be sad. It's like what we were saying in the beginning. We're like our worst critic. And yeah. I look at something, sometimes I'll even sit there and I'll debate, oh my God, I don't think I'm going to post this.
Yeah. I know that feeling.
I don't think I'm going to post this. And then I'll send it to, cause one of my all time favorites, like Sugar Sisters, is Avalon Yarns. Mm-hmm. And I'll send it to her and she'll be like, girl, you are cray cray. You better post that.
Are you in the middle of a big project right now? Are you at that dreaded point halfway along where everything looks all weird and the faces aren't quite human and the animals look like the wrong species, or you haven't covered up the seams, or there's some other part that, because it's not done yet, just looks wrong? Are you exhausted and asking yourself why? Why are you even engaged in this art form? Because you just want to go do something else, but this project is making you hate sugar? Well, remember, we've all been there. Everyone in this industry has been where you are right now, and we will all be there again. The midpoint of any project stinks. You've put in so much time and so much work, but still have so far to go. And there are a dozen other things you'd rather do right now. We all understand. But come on now. We also know how awesome you're going to feel at the end of this thing. Whatever you're making is going to be amazing. You are going to put that last piece on and stand back and be so happy with what you've accomplished. Because yeah, it's hard, but that's what makes it worthwhile in the end. So take a break if you need to, but keep on going because you rock. You are awesome. You are an artist, and this is your latest masterpiece. Woohoo! You go! You do it! You keep slogging through it, and we are all cheering you on. Yeah!
About the painting technique.
Right, the painting, the water. I'm so excited about your water. Oh my God. You can't believe how excited I am because people are constantly telling me, oh, you can't do that. It'll never dry. I'm like, yeah, it dries if you do it thin enough and you put like a fan over it. Like, And I was good. I was so psyched up. I was going to teach it to kids at the Austin show just before, you know, COVID went and made it so, like, I can't ever leave my house. Although I have left my house now. Hey, everybody. So we're recording this on June 3rd. I've been out of the house for, like, three weeks now, nearly. I've gone out.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was in my house for 428 days straight, not including injections.
I was right along with you. I know. I did not leave my house. I still have not gone into, like, a supermarket.
Nope, me neither. I've walked my kid to school.
Vaccinated in my house, except me, because, you know, I've got some health issues.
Yeah.
So I can't take my vaccine just yet.
I wasn't sure. Yeah.
I'm still double masking. I'm just like, everybody's having a good old time. And I'm here in Florida, Miami, where everybody is just partying all the time. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, no, stay away from me. I'm still in the corona mode. So yeah.
Yeah, I still am.
I totally relate to that.
Yeah. People here in England are partying and stuff and acting like it's fine, even though the numbers are going back up because the Delta variant is sweeping through England right now.
Sweeping in. I read about that.
Yeah. So we're in a bad state because it looks like a lot of people have done, if they've had their first jab and then gone, and it looks like there's a massive drop off in efficacy against the Delta variant if you've only had one jab. That's
crazy.
I know.
And so crazy.
It is. And I've seen it on there were a few of your posts last year where you would say something very sensible, like, hey, this is the problem. This is what I need. And I would see some of our mutual friends be not sympathetic.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't going to start it in your space because if it had been my space, it would have been on. But I'm like, this is someone else's space who's a very nice person and I'm not going to do this. But what I would typically do is I'd go to Kyla and say, did you see what so-and-so said at Sandy's space? And I would just like rant.
I know. It's so hard because I'm like a really big, like, a people person. And I love to see people, like, this whole thing has been hard on me because I'm like, I was always the one that would say, hey, I'm a hugger, you know, and I mean, I went to 50 countries, like, in the span of, like, 3 years and seeing hundreds and hundreds of people throughout, you know, all these different cities. And then, boom, out of nowhere, everything shuts down and I've got to stay in my home and I can't go anywhere. And this was really serious for me because not only was this affecting, you know, our communities, but this was something that was affecting me directly personally. Because, you know, I do have some health issues, which put me in the high risk category, you know? And so then when I see people not having any type of consideration for those of us who are vulnerable.
Yeah.
Oh man. Like I said, sweetie mode is off. Okay.
Yeah.
Sweetie mode is off because I couldn't fathom how inconsiderate some people were being, towards the situation. And I'm a people person. I think I can safely say that I used to be the type of person that really worried about, like, what people thought about me and always wanted to be accepted. But I'm going to have to say that one of the good things that has come out of this pandemic for me is that I just don't give a crap anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, this is me. This is who I am. This is what I believe in. And if you enjoy what I do, I'm happy and I'm glad. But if you don't agree with what I say or something that I said you don't like, you know what? I really don't care anymore because I used to care, and I don't care anymore because again, this whole pandemic has taught me a lot about, gosh, you know, humanity and how some people can be so into themselves and have no consideration for other people. You know?
Yep.
Wow. I mean, I was blown away with that, you know?
Yeah, because, I mean, I've had some friendships and, like, close personal, you know, mom friends in town. Like, I'm not just talking about the cake people you see once a year. Like, really close relationships, kids are best friends type level. But I saw them posting their pictures of them breaking lockdown rules in that first quarantine. It's like, well, I'm not safe around you now. Mm-hmm. Will I ever be safe around you again? And I've reached the point where, like, I was trying to not be the paranoid person with, you know, the paranoid immunosuppressed person who I was trying to not put my health issues on other people, but it got to the point, where I've flipped, and it's not just on this, it's on a few things. I've recently really had a hard flip on the neurotypical versus neurodiverse thing, and it's like, you know what, I'm sick of making everybody else happy. How about I get to ask for me now? And I'm noticing there's more of that too, that it's whatever the condition is, it's like saying, hey, if you don't like the fact that I interpret your statements directly, maybe you could say something different. Maybe it's not always on the neurodiverse to interpret the neurotypicals. Maybe if you don't like the fact that I'm wearing a mask, you can suck it up.
In 2019, I was diagnosed with thyroid cancer. And when I went public with it and I told everybody about it, oh my gosh, the amount of support that I got, the messages that I was getting, people that I didn't even know that knew me. I mean, I got so much support, so much love and support came out of that. Mm-hmm. Then to remind people that there's people like me out there that are vulnerable to this, you know, to this virus, it's like crickets. It's not fair to say crickets, because I did get a lot of support out of that. But those same people that were supporting me and sending me love and prayers and positive vibes and all that stuff back in early 2019, it was like those were the ones, they were crickets once I started really, you know, posting frequently on my personal page about, guys, you know, this is for all of us. This has nothing to do with freedom or politics or anything like that. Right? This is just a public health and safety situation.
Exactly.
And that's when a lot of things shifted for me. So I do have to say that some good things did come out of this, because you get to see people in a different light, you know?
Yeah, you get to see who you're safe with later and who's going to take you seriously. Because, you know, again, I have all these food issues. Some of them are, quote unquote, legitimate. That's how people phrase it, like, because it's an allergy or an actual, you know, swelling sensitivity or whatever. But then also, I have a lot of texture issues and flavor issues, which, again, I'm starting to realize probably I needed an ASD diagnosis somewhere in my life, but it didn't happen, so I just muddled through. But, like, so I'm realizing, hey, all these struggles I've had just going out to eat with people, where I used to always put everyone else first and always say, hey, like, you pick a restaurant. If I can't eat, I won't eat. But then they would still get angry at me for it and stuff. Now I'm sort of more collating my friend groups to the people who, whether they share my conditions or not, are supportive of my conditions. And that's the people who I saw posting when the CDC said you don't need to wear masks. And I saw so many of our cake friends posting, I'm masking anyway. I'm like, you are my friends. You are the people I can trust. You will have my back.
And it's such a comforting feeling, you know, when you see that. Man, it's like this warmth, and it starts in like the pit of your stomach. You're like, oh man, you know, there's still good people out there. There's people that still care. You know, I had posted something too that said, you know, guys, please remember, there's still people that have this, that have that, that can't take the vaccine, not because they choose to, it's because they can't.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's another thing. It's like when you post things like that, you don't get as many likes. You still get likes, but you don't get as much likes as if you were to, what's the word I'm looking for? Like when you're having beef with somebody and then you post a meme, but you're not really saying who you have beef
with. The vague booking.
Exactly. Yeah. And then everybody's like, oh, what is this? What's going on?
Yeah.
Like, I had a bit of an issue with a past friend, and I put something about taking out the trash. Oh my God. It got so many likes, and people were like, oh my God, what's going on? And then I would get like messages, oh my God, I hope it's not me. And da 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 da. I go, first of all, if it was you, you wouldn't still be on my friend list.
Right.
Hello. Right. But when you post things about, listen, guys, please continue to wear your mask, you know, it doesn't get as many likes. It's just,
well, it's the algorithms, you know? Because it's like, if I post something on any of my political, or like you were saying, this shouldn't be a political issue, but let's face it, it's become politicized. If I post, if I post something like that, it's the same 10 people who come and like it, but then that's teaching the algorithm not to show it to the other people. Like, I follow you, and like, you see me on your posts occasionally, but it's rare because Facebook does not show me very many of your posts.
Gosh,
you're one of those people I have to go
to. That now on my business pages too, because right now Instagram is like all about videos, and you know what, not everybody can do videos.
No,
you know, and it does, it takes like all day for me to do a 30-second video.
Yeah,
like all day. And if you don't post, like, there's some people that just live, eat, and breathe to post these videos. No, I can't. I don't have that setup to do something like that. And it's the thing, the whole algorithms, they're not showing my stuff like they used to. It's crazy.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. It's like, again, mentioning Jackie Kelly, if I follow her as a person, and I follow her business page and have for many years.
We love her.
For some reason, I never get her personal post. I even occasionally go in and make sure, yep, still following. I never get her personal post, like ever. But I get her business posts. But her Totally Sugar page is the only cake person's page I consistently see. The rest of you, I never see. I follow all of your pages. And I don't see it unless I go. What I see is when most of you personally share your business post, like, I made this.
Yeah. Right?
But even then, it's hardly any. I think this is the way Facebook works. The more you talk to someone, the more you get their stuff. I get everything that Kyla posts about the kittens.
Yeah.
Because she's fostering kittens. Because I interact with each post and with her husband's post. And so Facebook thinks, oh, you're all besties, so I'm going to show you all of your posts together. But you can only do that for so many people. So when you've got these cake things where you've got like 300 people in common and 900 people, because it's like all of these cake people, I don't think Facebook knows how to let me see you all the time. I just get your ones that already have 30 comments on them, because then Facebook's gone, oh, this is of interest to the cake community, your community, your group.
And you know what else they're doing in both Facebook and Instagram? They are automatically unfollowing people. Like, the people are not unfollowing you. They're just automatically doing it.
Really?
It is. Yes. I've done it with for 5 different people. I'm like, does that happen sometimes where you're like, man, whatever happened to so-and-so? Are we still friends on Facebook? I haven't seen anything on their feed lately. So then you'll look up that person and dun, 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 they've unfriended you. And then you're like, what? They unfriended me? Oh my gosh, no. So you send them a Facebook private message. You're like, oh my God, did I do something to piss you off? Like, why? She's like, oh my God, I did not unfollow you. Are you sure? Yeah, no, I didn't. And the same thing on Instagram. Like, Instagram, man, you lose followers like crazy. If you're not posting 50 times a day,
look.
You're losing followers. But you think, the thing is, you think that it's that they're physically unfollowing you.
Yeah.
And it's not. It's Instagram punishing you for not keeping up with your engagements, you know?
Oh, see, I do on Instagram is promote this podcast. Like, I never, because it's phone only most, like, and I don't do social media on phone. That's one of my personal mental health barriers is, other than when I'm at a cake show and I need to be using Messenger to, where are you? I'm on this side of the hall. Okay. The rest of the time, I actually don't have Facebook on the phone. I don't have any of those things on my phone because I have Instagram on there because I have to post on it to post the podcast links. But I don't do it because I will never, ever stop is basically the problem. I have to be able to walk away.
I learned Listen, there is, you know, in the beginning, it's great. When I first started Instagram, and this was when Instagram was not owned by Facebook and right. everything was being grown organically, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I remember I was getting like 10,000 new followers like every 3 days, and my account just grew and grew and grew until it was like, you know, over 170,000 followers, right?
Wow.
But then Facebook bought it, and then things started staling and it was getting harder and harder. And now it's like the numbers are dropping. But what I've learned, and I got some really good advice from a couple of my friends, is that, you know, social media, all those people that are following, some people are really hung up with the amount of followers that they have, like, you know, that Insta famous stuff.
Yeah.
But I've learned that the majority of all those people, they're not people that are going to purchase your product.
No, they're not. They're No, they're not.
People that are not going to buy your classes. What they're doing is they're following you to get inspiration. And I'm okay with that. I'm totally fine with that. But they're not going to help to keep your business alive in the sense of putting money in your pocket. And so also it is a client list that really doesn't belong to you. It's something that can be taken away, especially, I mean, I've been seeing left and right a bunch of hackers just taking over these accounts. I mean, I have one cookier, Grunderfully Delicious. She had like 70 something thousand followers and they hacked her account. And they ransomed it. They told her if she doesn't pay like $800 in bitcoins or something.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I get those all the time. All the time.
So okay. So think about it.
Yeah.
If you rely on that list of people, you know, you're relying on business and you're not even owning your client list. So that's when, like, I would say about maybe 4 years ago, I really started pushing on an email list. An email list is golden.
Mm-hmm.
Golden. When you want to grow your business, what you need to focus on is your email list and not your following.
Yep.
You know, even though an email list is private, it's golden because that's where people have actually chosen to engage with your business. They're the ones that are most likely to buy your products. And just be in the know of what you're doing and really caring about it and really investing in it, you know?
I'm on your email list. I'm on Dawn Butler's email list. I'm on a bunch of email lists for cake people who have interesting classes and, again, whose posts I never see. Because sometimes what I'll do, if I have time and the mental spoons and the whole thing, is if I see a friend is posting a class, particularly if it's one that, you know, if I had the time and spoons, I would take, or it's like, wow, I've that technique, look at that. Or if it's clearly super beginner friendly, I'll then find the post from the email and then share the post.
Oh, see, that's community, man. That's what's so important.
Right. But hardly anyone does that.
Out of that. That's awesome.
Because, you know, I mean, like, I'm in the UK and you're in Florida. I'm not buying your cookies. Like, that's just not gonna look right. Like, me following you on social media has, other than if I share a class or something, it gives you nothing, basically, like in terms of a business and the numbers. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's one thing that a lot of people, they're so hung up with having a certain amount of likes and a certain amount of followers.
Which,
listen, I'm not going to lie. I started off that way. But as you grow and you start feeling more confident about what you're doing and what your business is all about, all of that seriously doesn't mean anything. It really doesn't.
No, I mean, I just looked because we were talking about it. It was the first time in like 3 months I've looked at my Instagram to see. I couldn't have even guessed how many followers. Apparently, I have 278. Yeah, Amy, like I've made 33 posts.
I'm telling you, I'm at the point where I'm like posting my old stuff too, just to like keep it going.
Keep the posts up. Yep.
It's just to keep it going.
You have 3,781 posts. You have basically like 100 times more posts than I. But I don't do it. Like, it's just not where I engage. I like to talk to people and rant about political subjects. And well, so this is why it's a bit concerning if Facebook is just randomly defriending, because I will often post something, and I do blur my business and personal lines because I don't care. Like, yeah. I've said many times, there's about 300 people roughly all listen to the podcast each episode, more if it's like a big name who shares it, a little bit less if it's someone's no one's heard of, other than it's my friend or whatever. But roughly 300, okay? I want those 300 people to be on the same page on some key issues, that gay rights are gay rights, trans women are women, kids don't belong in cages, concentration camps are bad. Like, these, like, to me, like, I will say these things outright on my podcast, on my page and everything. And if someone's offended by that, there's the door. So I often post things that are very line in the sand on my page publicly, and I'll say something like, if you're okay with children being ripped from their parents' arms and put in cages, defriend me. So then if I notice someone, like, you know, a few weeks later has defriended me, I kind of assume they're okay with kids in cages. But now maybe that was not fair to assume.
I know. Some of them, I think, were like, when I posted something where I said something, you know, because I was not for the old, you know, president. I was more towards, you know, change.
I can't imagine why.
I posted something about, you know, if you support, you know, this type of thing, because right now the whole racial injustice thing, that's really getting to me, and I'm quite vocal when it comes to that right now.
Yep.
And I think I posted something like that, well, you can just unfollow me right now. And then within, like, and I said, I knew this one person would be the one that would unfollow me. So I know for a fact that that one person unfollowed me, knowing that it wasn't something from Facebook. But a couple of them, I did reach out to them, and they're like, no, Sandy, I did not unfollow you. So that's why I know for a fact that this is something that that is happening, and they're not doing it on purpose. And it's on both Instagram and Facebook.
See, if it's both of them, because I could see that it could also be a technical glitch. I've had a thing lately where I'm talking with people in some, like, I'm doing a lot of Star Trek posts because this has been my mental health refuge. Two things have got me through the COVID crisis, and they are Star Trek and musicals. So I am all about... because there's this new radio station came on here called Magic at the Musicals, and it's like, it's all day long show tunes.
Oh, I love it.
I know, it's so happy making. Oh my God. Okay, so I listen to that, and I watch Star Trek, and I read about Star Trek, and I talk about Star Trek, and I post Star Trek, and this makes me feel better. And I know not everyone's into it, and that's fine. They don't have to be. I don't require anyone to share my fandom, but I will be in a discussion in a Star Trek group where a lot of people are firing off or whatever. Mostly it's love. If it's really hatey, I get out of there. I just block the bigots or whatever. But what's happened a few times on a technical level is I'm typing, or I go to click something, and because someone else has added a comment, I clicked the wrong thing, and I've suddenly sent a friend request to someone I don't even know who they are. And I undo it right away, but, like, it makes me wonder, is there some if it wasn't also happening on Instagram, I'd say, well, is there a technical glitch where people are accidentally, because I don't even know what the mobile platform looks like. Like, is it easy to fat thumb it and accidentally unfriend people? But if you're saying it's happening on two different platforms that are owned by the same entity, that makes me sus. That's a little weird.
It's so weird. It is so, so weird. And then I thought, well, maybe she's just lying because I've called her out on it. But no, it's several people. Yeah. It's several people that I've contacted them. You know, some people I just don't care. I'm like, okay, they're not my friends anymore. It's all good.
Yeah, bye-bye.
But some of them, like, wait a minute. We we shared some really good hugs, man. Like, we're friends. What's happening here, you know? And yeah, I've reached out to them. But going back to the whole musical thing, I can totally relate to that, because that has been, because, you know, being stuck in your home, because I'm one of those that didn't risk it. When they said stay home, I mean, I'm talking about I stayed home.
Same.
I bought myself a ring, those little doorbell rings with a little camera. I put a little table outside my front door. And I was like, yeah, you can leave the pizza on that table through the ring.
Oh, I made my husband do it. My husband has a mask by the door. And so he's been the one, because we get groceries delivered and everything. Yes. We were already getting groceries delivered. So that was already, that's really common in Britain anyway. So we were already doing that. It just that if something didn't come, we couldn't go get it from the, you know, Aldi around the corner. So my husband is doorman, because he stayed home the whole time too. Even though he's not vulnerable, he loves me.
Yes, absolutely.
And also, yeah, we're not stupid, and we know about viruses, and his dad's a doctor, and we know how these things work. We kept our children home in defiance of the British government. I said, "Go, I'm an affluent white woman with a lawyer. Go ahead and sue me." Like, it's the first time I played that privilege that hard. I was like, because there are all these other women out there who don't have this privilege, and you're threatening to fine them. I will be that test case. So they backed off and they didn't find me. But
like I said, I was a person that was home maybe 1 week out of the month before the pandemic. I was, like I said, traveling and teaching. That right. was my main breadwinner. And just, you know, just traveling and teaching, going from one city, one state, one country to another. And when the pandemic hit, like, everything was at a standstill. I mean, I was actually in Memphis when the pandemic, like, when they started, okay, we got to shut everything down. And my husband was like, okay, you are not going on an airplane.
Right.
I'm going to pick you up. And he drove. I met him halfway. So I went from Memphis to Atlanta, which I think was about a 6 to 7 hour drive.
Oh, geez.
My husband went from Miami to Atlanta, picked me up there, and then we drove back down. But anyway, to make a long story short, so, you know, being this people person, traveling everywhere, and then all of a sudden being stuck at home and being, you know, and it was good too, because I hadn't been spending a lot of time with my boys and my husband. We got to really catch up. And, but yeah, after a while, it gets to the point where we're just like, oh my God,
mm-hmm.
we're yeah. all in the same house
yeah.
every day. Yeah. All day. And so my escapes were also watching musicals and some of my favorite. And so the other day I just posted it too. It was like, because I've been wanting to watch The Sound of Music like forever.
Oh.
And I don't want to watch it on my small TV in my bedroom. I want to watch it on the big, big TV in the living room.
Yep.
But, you know, I'm the only female in my house, and my kids were like, yeah, no, Mom, we don't want to watch this. No. So finally I got them, they went to sleep, and I go, you know what? Today's the day. Today's the day. I'm going to watch. I even told Hector, told Mr. Sweetie, all right, you're going to bed. Go round up the dogs, round up the kids. Everybody go to bed. I've got the living room all to myself. And I watched it from beginning to end. I was up to like 3 o'clock in the morning, and I was singing, girlfriend. I
yep.
was singing. I didn't care. I was like, the hills are alive with the sound of music. I was like on it.
See, you sound good doing it. I don't sound good doing it.
It was awesome. Awesome. So yes, I can totally relate to with you on the fact that musicals.
Well, I started calling like all my favorite musicals, and sometimes just the old movies, but mostly the musicals. Last summer, because I was, you know, I wasn't really homeschooling my older one, because she's the profoundly gifted one is happy to sit in her room and read books about physics. So, like, I didn't have to do much for her.
Oh, wow. That's
right.
Awesome.
So that's fine. But the learning disabled one, the little one, well, she didn't, yeah. couldn't read when we started, and she can now. Even the head teacher came to me at, like, we're on a half term break right this week, but last week, right before the half term break, the head teacher brought her out to me and said, well, we're taking her off of part of the specialist program because Robin can read now. And I'm like, in my head, I'm like, damn right she can, because I spent the last year teaching her. But before, like, when it was just too hot or just whatever. Because remember, when I talk about hot, we don't have air conditioning here. Mm-hmm. So when I was just, like, heat baked in the house, like, last, you know, July when school was still on, I'd say, right, we're going to watch an important historical documentary about Nazis. And it was The Sound of Music. We're gonna watch an important historical documentary about, and I can't even remember how I defined The Wizard of Oz, but we watched The Wizard of Oz. Like, oh no, it was about the Depression and Depression era, like, farming. Had Picard in my head saying the nice things I need someone to say to me because I can't say them to myself, but I can say them to you. Yeah. I can say them. And so what I actually did a few weeks ago, I started tweeting those things as Space Dad support. Mm-hmm. Just by being nice on Twitter in Picard's voice, all these people are following him and telling me on Facebook how much that they message me on Facebook to tell me how much the tweets mean to them. And,
that is awesome.
And then, like, a couple of days ago, I did one. I'd pre-written a bunch so I can sort of do them daily even when I'm busy. And I had one that was, like, explicitly trans-inclusive, like, pronoun-inclusive, even though I put mm-hmm. his pronouns on there to be the obvious hint of this is a pro-trans, pro-LGBT account. When I made one, that it said something to the effect of, when you tell me your pronouns, that's what I'll use, and that, you know, I wouldn't want someone to, you know, mislabel me as Ensign Picard, so just respect people. That one's been going viral, and so now he's getting all these, this weird fake little account that's just my mental health account, apparently now means the world to other people, which makes me feel better about me, which is really nice.
Fantastic. See, isn't it amazing how the arts is so important?
Yeah.
You know, having that creativity and having an outlet like that is just so incredibly important.
It is.
And it's, for me, it's such an amazing thing that we find something that's our outlet, because when I found cookie decorating, it was in, I don't want to say a dark time of my life, but it was a time where I was really not liking my day job. And I was at that job for 22 years. I was there for a really, really long time. And I don't know what it was that I walked into a bakery one day and I saw, you know, I saw Sesame Street cookies and it had this smooth icing on it. And I was like, man, how the heck do they get this icing on this cookie so smooth and it doesn't fall off the sides? And it was that little spark of curiosity that started this whole thing for me. And it has been an outlet for me because, you know, when you're in a job where you're constantly being made as if you're not good enough, you know, and then you start doing this cookie thing. Well, for me, it was the cookie thing. And then I start posting it and you've got all these people just giving you praise and just saying how amazing you are and how great and seeing the response that you're getting out of it. I mean, it's such a euphoric feeling that I can't even put words in it, you know, and it becomes like, it's like, I don't want to say it's like a drug, but it's like just something.
Oh, but it is. It's a dopamine rush in your brain. It is totally a drug. And again, with that imposter syndrome, I'm going to guess it's the same with you and me because we've talked about this with other people on the podcast too. If they praise the work and not you, that's a compliment that's easier to take, isn't it?
Yes, 100%, girl. Oh, there it is.
Yep, because it's on the work. Yeah. And in your heart, you know the work is good, even if you know where the flaws are, in part because you photographed it in a way that didn't show the flaw. So
yeah. We
know, even if we can't admit to ourselves, what I just did was bloody well awesome. Even if we can't say it to ourselves, we put it out there and we know when people love it, particularly when the, mm-hmm. Oh God, I used to say, I mean, still need a better word for muggles because I have to replace all the Harry Potters of the cake muggles, I used to call them, but the non-knowing people, the general public who doesn't understand what went into it. But when they like it, there's a certain kind of rush. And when the other sugar artists like it, there's another kind of rush. And you can just lap it up. And it is a drug. It is your dopamine brain going ping, 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 ping. And the way that works, because it's not, for me, it's not poking the imposter syndrome part of my brain. It's poking the dopamine part. And it's like, preen, preen, happy, happy. And no one has to see me preen and because I'm behind a computer. Yay. Yeah,
and that's why I also like tell people that, you know, because sometimes, you know, you get people that start doubting themselves and they'd be like, you know, am I good enough? You know, sometimes you don't need to worry about any of that. You just got to focus on the work. Forget about everything else. You just focus on each project and making sure that each project is better than the next. And you're going to see that people are going to notice and they're going to recognize it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'll never forget the day Shauna McGreevy is huge in the cake world.
Yep.
And the first time that she ever shared one of my sets on her page, I didn't even know. I just like, God, why am I getting all these likes? You know, the ping, 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 you know?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, what is going on here? When I saw that Shauna McGreevy had shared my work, I think I almost fainted. Like, I almost, like, fell out of my chair. And it was... So I can totally resonate with what you said earlier about, you know, when it's another like baker that likes your stuff and gives you that recognition, that is just so important. And that's one of the things that I make sure that I give back, you know,
yep,
that
same.
We're supporting other artists and that we share their work. We like their work. We comment on them. We follow, you know, I have a bunch, you know, I'm constantly following people, you know, that's just so important because one little thing that you might think is insignificant to another person, it's like their whole world, you know?
Yep. And I'd like to, in particular, because I know that I am talking to a lot of people who don't understand sugar stuff. I will make a point of, again, time permitting. If I share someone's amazing cake or cookie or competition piece, whatever, collab piece, whatever it is, I will comment and say, oh my God, it's amazing. Or like the general praise, amazing thing. But then when I share it, I'll also say like, look at the perfect stripes on this. People who don't make stripes, you don't understand.
Yeah.
You don't understand the goddess that made this. And so like partly because I know if I say the goddess that made this in their post, that'll freak them out. But if I do it in my share, it seems to remove it a little bit. Like I'm still giving them that heaping pile of praise that would freak me out if I got it directly in my face. Yeah. But I'm still giving them the, I'm like, oh my God. Okay. Those of you who don't understand, that tier is floating because blah, blah, blah. Those of you who don't understand that how this is made, let me tell you how this, or how I guess this is made. And, you know, it's, they did this and they had to do this and then they had to do this really difficult thing. And so then the, for lack of a better word, muggles are all like, oh my God. And then the sugar people are like, yeah. So, yeah. Like I try to do these very specific, or even like with classes, like I'll, or videos, if I share someone's YouTube video, I'll say, okay, this is a really good beginner or intermediate video because this reason, this reason, this reason, because I know that increases the engagement for that video.
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
And we can all do that for each other a little bit more. So, yeah, that's the best way. I mean, people sometimes post the memes like, you know, oh, it would be your best birthday gift. And I'm like, a review for my novel. And then they never do.
Yeah.
Like, they never do. Other than my friends who already have, right? Like,
yeah.
Like, so this is, like, I don't want you to mail me an incredibly expensive postal gift from the U.S. I want you to just go give me a like on Amazon or whatever.
Right.
Like, that's all that I want. You share. Oh, my God. Share my stuff. Share my stuff.
With me, it was, like, also, like, with my family, because I was the crazy teenager. I was the rebellious one. I was just, like, the one that did like everything backwards when I was growing up.
And, I like you.
Then I was so backwards. I did everything. All my cousins, they all had, you know, they finished high school, went straight to college, then got married, then had the kids. Mine was all in different orders. It wasn't in all that order. And so it's like now they're like, oh, wow, do you see what Sandy's doing? Like, I remember when I first started, like, posting stuff, my aunt, we call her Tia, because in Spanish, Tia is aunt, and she's even become, because she started, like, really getting, she's doing cookie decorating now. I mean, I'm so, so proud of her, and, oh, the pride is just, like, boom. Even just me talking about it now.
I can feel it coming off you, yes.
I got this Kool-Aid smile right now. And she's like a second mother to me. She's my mom's sister. And when I first started, I remember posting my stuff and my aunt would tell me, hey, who have you hired in your bakery to do all that stuff? I said, Tia, that's me. I'm doing it. She goes, what? Where the hell did this come from? I go, I have no idea. I don't know, but I just sat here for 5 hours making sure that Prince's nose was to the T, okay? I needed to make sure that the ruffles in his purple rain, you know, that jet was like as realistic as possible. And so then on some of my adventures, I brought her with me. Like she went to Montreal with me. And they did like a big cake show in New Jersey because that's where she lives. And she came with me and she just saw like every 5 minutes I was being stopped like to take a picture with me and stuff like that. Like, she could not understand how big this had become. And to this day, there's not one post that she doesn't share on her page. And that to me is just like, oh my God, I don't even have a word to describe what I feel. Seeing how proud my family is of me on what I'm doing. And that is something that even if like tomorrow I decide to never do another cookie again and I want to do something else with my life, I mean, this has been one hell of a ride and it's been amazing. It's been great.
And you are amazing at it.
Thank you, love. Thank you. And this is so much fun.
And now a message from the folks at the Cake Minds Collective about their new online magazine. It's free, it's a new read, and a new perspective for a new community that's bringing the joy of creativity and positive thinking to aid your mental health and well-being. It includes pictorial and video tutorials, interviews, and self-care articles. It's time to make a difference to your day and dedicate some time to yourself. Read something that is good for the soul. Live well, think well, and craft well with the Cake Minds Collective magazine. Subscribe today and don't miss a copy. Again, it's free. Go to www.cakeminds.co.uk. That's www.cakeminds.co.uk. And click on magazine for more information and to read the current issue.
I want to go back to the water thing really quickly before we wrap up.
Yeah.
And I'm not, I know you're teaching classes on this, so I'm not asking you to give away the secrets of the classes.
No, yeah.
Okay, well, so how much are you willing to talk about how you do with the water, like, and like, which are your preferred gels or are you using powders or?
Yeah. So I've played around with different types of edible paints and again, I seem to keep pulling myself back to when I used to sell cookies. So anything that doesn't require too much time are the ones that I like to work with. And right. So, for instance, if I was to work with powdered colors, getting the right consistency takes time.
Yeah.
I just recently started working with the Karen Portaleo colors. Which, oh my God, they're amazing, by the way.
I didn't even know she had any. Oh my God, I'm so out of the loop.
Yeah, she has this new line of colors. So they're like kind of like oil paints. They're very thick and very, they're kind of like in the UK where you have, what's the sugar flares?
Yeah,
they're like really thick. And in the American market, there's not really that many that are like that. They're more jelly, you know?
Right.
So that one I love too, but I find that it takes a little longer to get the right consistency. So gels for me are great. I would have to say that right now I'm really fangirling on Magic Colors.
Okay.
So I was introduced to Magic Colors at Cake International.
Yep.
And I just love them. I just bought every single color in their collection because they're quite consistent with their consistencies. I also love Chef Masters, and I do love the array of colors of AmeriColor, but the problem with AmeriColor is they're not consistent with their consistencies.
Yeah. And
when you're painting with gel, it's just a much efficient process when all your gels are the same thickness.
Yep.
And when you've got to constantly be adjusting them. And another thing with Magic Color is that they don't dry so fast in your palette. So you don't have to keep, you know, rejuvenating them, you know?
Okay.
So right now that's my jam. But see, I'm a crazy Gemini. So I constantly, like, I can't, like, except my husband. I've stayed true with my husband, okay? But I can't.
But you've cheated on all the brands.
I have. I promise. We've been married almost 24 years. So with me, like, I'm constantly falling in love with other products too, you know?
Right.
Like Fractal, I'm still on the search for the perfect white, right?
Yeah, because AmeriColor's not. AmeriColor Bright White eats the other white, eats the other colors.
Yes, and it gets crusty.
Yes.
But right now, I've got a really good relationship with Fractal.
Okay.
Fractal has one called White Snow. And we're doing good.
I should try that.
Yes. And let me tell you, Karen's is really good. It's just getting it to that right consistency. It'll take time. I think she has the best coverage of it, but it can get a little grainy with water.
Mm. Yeah, some of them do.
So that's, Fractal is like my jam right now when it comes to the whites.
And that's easy to get here. So that's good. Because this part of it, I was thinking, oh God, she's going to say something like, I can't, I mean, I'm sitting beside my cabinet of AmeriColor because I love AmeriColor. But AmeriColor's got two big issues for me. One, it's an expensive import here. Really yeah. expensive import. And so everything I have is old, right? It's technically not allowed for consumption on many of the colors. It's a really ridiculous thing. It has to do with EU regulations. And let me just put this out there. I am pro EU because I don't want anyone misconstruing that. I wish we were still in the EU. And in fact, maybe this has changed since Brexit. I don't know. I haven't even looked. But there's because it has to do with labeling that they're saying that because AmeriColor labels its things in certain ways and something like Sugar Fair, where it's got the same colorant. It's the same ingredient, but it's because of a labeling issue. The AmeriColor is quote unquote craft use only.
Well, we have the same thing here, like with Fractal. So Fractal doesn't have all the FDA approvals.
Right.
So it's so ridiculous that whenever I have one supplier here in the States that's bringing it in, and whenever they bring it in, they have to put a label on it that says it's not edible. So whenever I do a class where I'm requiring that white, I'll get a ton of students saying, this says it's not edible. I go, it is edible in the UK.
Yeah.
It's just because they haven't reached some sort of FDA approval on one of the ingredients or maybe that labeling. They've got to put that for now, you know?
Yeah.
So I totally get that. I know.
And we know how not necessarily valid it all is anyway, because I also have my wall of roll cam here. That I can't use on anything, anywhere, in any country, because it turned out they were lying, and there's, like, nasty stuff in there, and they got revealed. That. Yeah, so, like, even if you buy something that's labeled edible, it can be wrong. So, like, I'm going to go ahead and trust something like AmeriColor, which is a brand that I've had no problems with personally, professionally for all these years. I just can't sell with it, but I'm not selling anyway, so it's fine. But, like, yeah, I've got, I mean, I have some fractal. A rainbow dust is pretty good.
My thing with rainbow dust, because I, first of all, I don't like mixing colors. So when you've got a brand that has like 50 bajillion different colors, I'm like on it and I want them all. So I remember when I went to Cake International, there was, I don't remember who the vendor was, but they always get like two booths across from each other.
Yeah.
So they take up the whole row. Yes, you know, and they had like every single color of rainbow of the rainbow dust, the pro gels, and I bought them all.
Oh my God. How'd you get them home? Jeez.
The thing is that you don't see, for Americans, we don't feel it because like a pound is, you know, they say it's what, 90 pounds, but really it's like 130, 150 bucks. You know?
Yeah.
But for me, I'm still thinking, oh, 90 bucks. Okay. I'm going to get all of this, you know? And so I bought all that stuff and then it doesn't work with my technique. I'm so sad.
Oh.
It doesn't, because what happens is it really, when you're painting with water, you want to make sure that the color just sits on the top layer of the royal icing. And so then some colors, they're made in a way where it really does seep into the royal icing.
Yes.
And then it causes like a bleeding effect.
The bleeding, yeah.
So you don't have those nice sharp edges. And so then I find that that happens with the rainbow dust. And it also happens with the sugar, because I love Sugar Flare. Sugar Flare has the most beautifulest greens. Like there was a gooseberry. Is like my favorite green ever, but I only use it for like with royal icing, like mixing it inside of the royal icing,
right?
But not to paint, because it bleeds into the royal icing. So there are some brands that just don't work with my technique, but the majority of them do work, you know?
Right. Yeah, because, well, again, when you're painting with water, I mean, if I'm going to use my Americolor Super Black, I gotta be really, really careful because it wants to do the separation into the red and the green.
Mm-hmm.
I need to post it still. Because I went a little bit lockdown crazy a few months ago, I tried dyeing my hair with some Americolor. And then I tried, my youngest is blonde and she's like, do my hair. And I'm like, all right, it's a while before you're going to school. So sure. And because I'd seen somewhere, someone posting, oh, dyeing your hair with food dye. Okay. Now that was, again, that was someone who didn't know what they're talking about. And they meant those little droppers of the watery stuff you get at the grocery store. And they're like, it didn't work. And I'm like, really? Cause I have the industrial grade stuff right here. And so like I tried. And so what I need to post the bloggy thing on it, but what I tried on her hair and on my hair, my hair's brown, so it's never going to show much. On mine, I tried one of the purple, the Americolor purples, and it came out like bright pink because the blue washed out. And so when I tried on my daughter's hair, I did like some rainbow colors, and the red and the yellow stayed a lot, the green a little bit, and blue washes right out. And when you think about it, when you're washing, like if you get it on your hands, because you're like me, a person who never wears gloves because they make you crazy
to wear the gloves. I hate wearing gloves.
So I always have the stained hands if I'm doing cake stuff. And if you, and I'm going to, I haven't posted the blog yet because I need to do one more test. I need to put some Americolor Super Black in my hair because I bet it's going to dye my hair red for like a week and not black. Because what happens when we put the super black on our hands, right, and wash it off, you see green wash into the sink and the pink stays on your hands. And it's the same thing when I'm painting cookies that I've learned.
With the alcohol, right? Not with the
water. Well, I only use water. I've never used alcohol.
Oh, okay.
When I use
the alcohol, it changes into that green like right away.
Oh, does it? Okay. Because, I've noticed it, because it does want to separate. It wants to leave the red on my little palette when I mix with water, and it wants to paint the green onto the cookie. So I can do it. I just need to not add very much water.
Well, you know, all my black and whites, so all the black and white portraits that I do to make them kind of look like pencil, Magic Colors Black is just the diggity bomb.
I need to get some of that then.
So good. It's really good. It's, it's called Black Magic. It's so good. For me, that's the one that I suggested to all my students when we do the when we do classes, I tell them to get that one. I think one time I got, because the original batch that I got when it was at Cake International and I got the Black Magic, it gave off like I want to say a little bit of like a bluish hue to it, very mm-hmm. slight though, like not much. But then I sent everybody to buy that Black Magic. I guess it was from another batch or something, and it was giving off like a brownish hue. Either way, I think they looked great, but so far that's been the best black for me to work on, especially if you want to make it look like a black and white pencil type of look.
Okay, really, I'm totally gonna get some, because yeah, that's, I've seen the ones that you've posted, and the, like the eyes and stuff that you were doing, and I was like, I know the super black won't do that. The super black is amazing in buttercream, and oh, it's so good in royal because it actually makes it black. Yeah, like, but
or
like
when I'm doing Dr. Seuss, you know, those lines that everybody does in Dr. Seuss.
Yeah,
I cannot stand working with markers. I don't work with markers, like ever. So what I'll do is I'll paint the black lines, and the AmeriColor Super Black is perfect for
yeah,
that.
Yeah, straight up painting it, I'll do, but you got to leave like 24 hours to dry.
Yes, and the cornstarch it.
Yeah,
cornstarch it too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or and if it's raining. Like in you know, when it's just wet. Well, you live in Florida, you know humidity. Yeah,
oh, I know.
Yeah, yeah. So like, but when I talk to the people in Austin, sometimes they need to be reminded about humidity. When I talk to the people in Las Vegas, they're like, "What now?" Because I've lived in all these places.
I remember the first time I ever taught in Vegas. I was like, it was only a 4-inch cookie, and I am flooding the cookie, and halfway through it,
it's crusted.
It's already crusted. I know. I'm like, you can't even do wet on wet in this because there's just no way.
No.
It was insane.
I learned cake decorating while living in Las Vegas.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and I didn't think you needed to support figures because they just dried.
Listen,
and then I moved to Austin and everything was like soggy.
I know. I'll never forget the time that I had to go to Michael's in Vegas. I'd rented a car. And there was no parking. It was like, really, you know, when you've got the crappy parking all the way in the back?
Yeah.
And I'll never forget that I had to park all the way in the boondocks. And I seriously was walking, and it was like really hot day.
Uh-huh.
And halfway through the parking lot, I was like, I was like, oh, my God, I can't breathe.
Yep.
I need air. I need air. I felt like I was going to pass out. I was like, this is crazy. I've never even heard of something. Like, I've never felt this before. And I'm thinking, oh, I live in Florida. I can handle the heat. I can handle this heat. No, I couldn't. Sorry.
Now imagine my poor Canadian butt coming to visit my now husband who lived in Las Vegas. And I flew from Toronto to Las Vegas in summer and was walking across one of those, you know, hot plate parking lots. And I was trying to be on my tippy toes with my arms in the air to get further away from the black pavement that was radiating up at me.
Crazy.
Yeah, and we went for a walk on the strip, and I actually almost did faint. He had to get me into, it's been a while since I lived there. One of the hotels is Bellagio, one of the ones that's got, and it's got like the all the art glass flowers.
Oh, that's in the Bellagio.
Yeah. Okay, so I remember that because we went in there and I laid down on a bench while he ran to get water so I didn't die. But crazy. Like, it was great for, it was horrible for cookies, I'm sure, but it was great for working with fondant.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, because everything dries.
I worked with fondant, but not that much.
Yeah, no, that's where I learned all my, this is where I learned you could dip fondant in water and it didn't matter because apparently it was just going to dry.
Awesome.
Yeah. But yeah, so
but
here it is different, and the supplies are different, and the flour is different, and the corn flour is different.
A lot of terminologies I had to learn. Like I went over there to teach, and one of the techniques needed graham crackers, and I had graham crackers on the list, and so
they don't have them here.
She said, oh, those. So I'm trying to explain to her.
They don't know
what
it is.
Graham crackers are. And she goes, oh, These sound like digestives.
Digestives is their equivalent, yes, but they're not the same.
Wait a minute. So I'm thinking, no. I'm thinking it's like Fiber One. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, no. See, because I was Canadian, I knew what a digestive was. And I know that it's good. Like, if you're talking about, like, making a graham cracker crust, you can sort of do it with a digestive. It's not quite the same, but it'll pass. But they don't crumble the same if you're talking about making, like, a sand technique.
Yes. Well, I learned that, you know, the hard way.
Bring your graham crackers.
But I'm thinking that it's like this, you know, granola bar, Fiber One type of thing. Because digestive biscuits, I'm thinking it's something to help you to go to the bathroom or something.
No, it's just not. I think in the Victorian days, that's how it was sold. I think that was like the just, because you know, in the Victorian days, you could just advertise whatever you want. The cocaine cures your cold. I mean, like, you could just say whatever you wanted. And there was no standards. They come chocolate covered. So,
like, oh, gosh.
Oh my god, that thing you just made? That was amazing! You are so good at this!
Yeah, what I like to do is promote my email list. That's like the main thing. I might not have, because my next class is not until June 26th, and registration's only open for a limited time, and then we close it, and then I don't have any classes. So it's not like a recurring thing that I have open all the time, unless they want classes through Avalon Cakes, you know?
Right.
But my classes are usually, you know, temporarily available, so that's why if they get on my email list,
got it,
they'll be in the know of all new classes that are coming, and sometimes I'll open up the vault of my old classes, my replays, and they can get in on it. So that's what I would probably promote more, is just, you know, getting on my email list to get all update information on my classes and when I go back on tour, you know, and stuff like that.
Right. And I mean, I'm looking at your website right now, so I can tell people it's right at the bottom of the website. Enter your email here and join. And I will link to the website, but so if someone's got it in their ears right now, it's the youcancallmesweetie.com. So very, very easy. Mine's tricky because it's got dashes in it, because I couldn't have the actual eat the evidence. Someone already had that. So mine has to have dashes. Yours is conveniently all one word, but it'll all be in the show notes. So people can do that.
Awesome.
And yeah, like I want to see you at CI again, but I can tell you right now, I'm not going in November because I think November's still going to be bad. So I haven't bought anything.
I'm going to suffer from FOMO so bad. I'm going to suffer from FOMO so, so bad, but I know I'm not going. And you know what? I had this judging gig. Like, I was so excited because Melanie finally, because I've been years and years and years trying to get Melanie to notice me. And she finally did, and I was supposed to be a trainee to be a judge.
Right.
COVID happened, so that didn't go through. So hopefully she hasn't forgotten about me, and hopefully when I can go back, which definitely the following year. So 2022, man.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. That's I'm hoping by then, because I just don't trust enough people to be vaccinated for 15,000 people from around the world to be in one room in November. Yeah, I just don't.
Like CookieCon right now, they just opened up registration yesterday.
Yeah.
And like I said, the Dallas show sold out, and the Orlando show, it has not. And that's like never happened. CookieCon always sells out.
Yeah.
And the Orlando show is still open, but I'm still like, I don't know. My friends are like, wear a mask. You'll be fine.
No,
the numbers will be down by then. So I'm just like, I don't know.
Because you have to get there, and you have to eat when you're there, and you have to be in a hotel, and it's, and you know what, like, I'm not blaming the organizers. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with any of the organizers of the show, but like in the queue to get into the show, all it takes is one jerk to sneeze on you, right?
Yeah,
and that's the organizer. It's not the organizer's fault. But I don't want to die to go to a cake show. Like, that sounds ridiculous. I don't want to get long COVID. Look at our friends who have long COVID. I don't want that.
And how far are you from the convention center?
For CI, like a 2-hour drive.
Okay.
Like, yeah, and it's an easy drive. I just go, you know, out my door, out around the corner, onto a street that becomes the highway that gets there, and then I have to do like one interchange that's a bit hairy, but then that goes straight into the NEC. Like, it is an easy drive I can do at 5 o'clock in the morning, but I have not driven the car in a year and a half, so.
Yeah. I know my husband fell in love with the UK, and when the whole thing with, like, Trump was going on.
Yeah.
He literally was looking to see what would it take to either move to Canada or to move to the UK.
I don't blame you.
And we were looking at houses and he's like, what? But I'm like, babe, that's how it is. He's like, but they don't even have a big refrigerator. I'm like, they call that American refrigerators.
That's I do. I have an enormous refrigerator and an enormous freezer for Britain. You would call them normal sized, okay? But they're norm. And when I have British friends over, they look at them and their eyes fall out of their heads.
They're like, oh my God.
They're like, that's bigger than my kitchen. And I'm like, I know. And it takes up a third of my kitchen. But yeah, I mean, yeah, no, it's small. And we've been entrapped in these four walls for 428 days. Oh, but I can tell you, I know we have to end this soon, but I have to tell you about my 7-year-old trip. No, it was 14. When I was 7 and 14, we went to Florida from Canada. I think it was when I was 14 and we were driving from wherever we were to, is it Disneyland or Disney World? I'm sorry, I forget which is which.
Disney World.
Right. We were driving to, I've never been to the California one, but I just forget which, okay. So we were driving to it from wherever we'd started, right? So it was like, you know, a 4-hour drive from wherever we started the vacation. And as we're driving down these roads, I could see every however many feet or whatever, there's a pole and it's got a little red sign on it. And I was driving my dad nuts. I'm like, what does it say? What do those signs say? It says warning, but what is it warning us about? And so finally he got and so annoyed at me, he pulled over to the side to by the ditch with the water in it. And I'm Canadian, so I didn't know. And I went right up to the edge of the water so I could read. And it said, warning, alligators are in this ditch. Yeah. To the
and they'll snatch you, man.
But like they made the print so tiny that I had to basically walk on the alligator heads. I mean, I didn't see one. I would have lost my mind if I'd seen one. But like I still remember that. That's my, like, I remember about Florida is it was really, really, really hot for my poor little Canadian soul and the cicadas.
And mosquitoes.
And the mosquitoes. Oh, well, we had bad mosquitoes in Ontario too. Our mosquitoes will carry you away and feed you to their children in their nests.
I love Toronto, though. Oh, God.
Oh, I miss Toronto.
I have a really good friend that lives in Toronto, and I was supposed to do classes in September there last year, and then I was supposed to go over to Vancouver because I've never been to Vancouver, and then take a road trip from Vancouver to Portland. I'm not going to give up that trip.
No, we always wanted to do the PCH, too, and we never did the PCH. And then we moved here.
It's gorgeous. And I also went to Alberta. Oh, my gosh. I went to that lake that's up there.
Oh, no, I have been to Banff. Yeah, I've been to Banff.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. It was so beautiful.
Yeah, my kids have never
been.
You
know what? The best fall I've ever seen in my life is, you know, what was it? I think I went to Montreal in October. It was the most beautifulest fall I've ever seen.
Yep, I've driven through Montreal and then all through the Maritimes in the fall.
Yeah.
And it's like every hill you go, oh, and then over the next hill, oh, it's so pretty.
Oh my God. And I remember when the plane was landing, seeing all the trees. We don't see seasons down here.
Yep.
I mean, when I lived in Jersey, yes. And Jersey, it's what we call the Garden State, and it's nice when you're not around all the factories. But my aunt lives in Jackson, where it's more gardeny, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's nice. But no, that's why I always said anytime I go to Canada, I always want to go in the fall. I don't want to miss it. I really love the fall over there.
It smells different too. Like when you talk about the trees in Canada in the fall, I'm getting a synesthesia. I know exactly what that smells like.
Oh, yeah. That was like that when you talk about smells, that's like when I went to Ireland. Oh my God.
See, I haven't been to Ireland yet. I haven't been to Scotland yet.
What? You're just like a hip and skip away.
I know, but so we were going to work our way around, and then like the kids were being, there was stuff and money and whatever.
Yeah.
And immigration is expensive. And so that's why we were willing to spend the £4,000 for a week in our own castle on a Scottish beach.
Well, my friend has an Airbnb in, I think it's called Port Rush. It's in Belfast, right? Okay. And it's right on the water. Like, it's beautiful. And so what I did was I flew up to Belfast, right? And I stayed with her, did some classes over there. And then we took a road trip. It was a 4-hour. I was like, only 4 hours? And we drove from Belfast to Dublin, and from Dublin it was more than 4 hours once we went to Galway.
Right.
And I stayed with Karina.
I was going to say, that's where Karina lives. Yeah.
Oh, my God. It's seriously, I mean, and the thing is, I went by myself. So now what I'm trying to do is recreate all of that with Mr. Sweetie, you know?
Right, yeah. Because
he just fell in love when we were in the UK. Like, we just fell in love with it. And that was our next, that's what we were supposed to do in 2020. 2020, we're supposed to go back, do CI, and right after CI, we're going to fly over to Belfast and do that whole entire trip that I did exactly the same so he can experience it too. So it's on our bucket list. We will be back.
Hopefully in 2022. And what I've been saying is, generally speaking, I'm no longer a hugger because I don't trust people. I trust you. If you would like a hug, you can have, because you know what? You're going to follow the rules. You're not going to be stupid because you will die if you do. So like, you're in the same boat as me.
Oh, yes.
Is Helen Ducker, sure. Because she's also vulnerable and got it, right? She's still having long COVID. She can have a hug because I know she's in the same boat. Anyone I've seen who I know is in the same boat as us and cared, and not just for themselves, but for other people, because this is part of it. I didn't want to get COVID and then give it to a nurse in the hospital. Like, you know, like, exactly. Even if I was fine, yeah. I was not going to do that. So the people who I know have my back, those are the people, Jackie Kelly, she's been very safe. I know she has. And so like these, there are a very small group of people I know. Helen Marie Looker, one of my friends who lives just up in North Cambridge here, and I haven't seen her the whole time. These people I will do a hug with because I will feel safe. Everyone else, sorry, back off.
Well, I cannot wait to hug you, my friend.
Yes.
Thank you so much for this. This was so much fun, and I want to do it again. So
okay,
when you want to do it again, you just let me know.
Okay, well, you know, like, I have Jackie on annually. If you'd like to come on annually, then we can do that.
Let's do it. It's done. Sold.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, because you're a big celebrity and I worship you. And I know that pokes your imposter syndrome, but I'm sorry. I have to say it anyway. And thank you so much. And I can't wait to see you again. Yay.
All right. Big virtual hug.
Yay. Virtual hug. Okay.
Have a good one, love. Thank you
too.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye.
This has been the Eat the Evidence podcast. A warm thanks to all of my contributors, and you can find out more about them and the things discussed on today's episode in the show notes by visiting the podcast section of the Eat the Evidence website, eat-the-evidence.com/podcast. There, you'll find social media links, as well as links to iTunes, Stitcher, and other places where you can subscribe so you'll never miss an episode. I've also posted detailed instructions on how to leave me a Facebook voicemail message and other options to call into the show. Please do feel free at any time to call in your very own cakeformation, funny story, talk about a challenge you're having or have recently overcome, or rant about something driving you crazy. And if you like the show, please post a review on iTunes and share it with all of your sugar artist friends. This show was produced and edited by me, Kimberly Chapman. Thank you so much for listening, and remember, you are an amazing artist, and everyone involved with this podcast supports you. You can do it! Until next time, bye-bye, and good luck with whatever you're working on.
you got to take each moment as it comes and just be appreciative of it.